Lord.
Oh no, you're falling apart.
I am.
Literally, metaphorically.
Exponentially.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Cinema Sass. I'm Emily. I'm here with my friend Vincent. Vincent, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Vincent, an almost 30-year-old who loves walks on the beach and Real Housewives, all cities, horror movies, pugs, Lady Gaga, and anything with vodka in it. I graduated from San Francisco State University with a BA in theater, performance emphasis, which would explain if I ever try to analyze film from an acting perspective.
I'm going to steal that.
Yes.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
I know when you see meaty roles and it's like, that must have been hard. Especially when Sarah Paulson, she films multiple things at the same time and it's like,
oh my God, she does?
Yeah.
Wow.
I heard she was filming a American Horror Story and something else at the same time. And there were two different things. And it was really intense roles too.
I feel like part of the reason why I did not make it as an actor is because memorizing lines was impossible.
I like
that's probably the lines. Only reason why I didn't succeed as an actor is because I couldn't memorize very well.
That's it, guys. I have the charisma, the uniqueness, the talent, all of that.
The beauty, the everything else.
Those fucking lines, yeah, man.
That was it.
If it wasn't for those, you'd be rolling money
in Oscars. Right now. Oh my God. Rolling in gold. Lines. Okay. So, carry on.
So I would say that I have an eclectic taste when it comes to movies. I'm pretty open-minded. I'd be down to watch anything, even straight white men doing comedy sometime against my better judgment. If I had to choose a genre of choice, I'm going to go with horror always and comedy. Because I was literally always raised watching Child's Play, Scream, Halloween, Friday the 13th, all of those movies. And I loved them and I would watch them repeatedly. And my parents weren't the biggest fans of me doing that. But I never had nightmares and stuff like that. So it was fine. I also love anything with a solid female lead. Because I love women in power.
See, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love iconic Emily. That's why we're here.
Almost an Oscar winner.
Yeah. Fucking lines. But why am I on this podcast, though?
I don't know, Vincent. Why are you on this podcast?
Well,
who invited you?
When my dear friend Emily asked me if I was interested in being part of this, there was zero hesitation. I saw that message and I was so excited. Didn't even think about it. I was like, yes, I don't know if I can work this into my schedule, but I'm going to make it work. I have so much going on in my life, but fuck it. I need a creative outlet. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Weren't you dreaming about doing a podcast?
No, I heavily want to do a Bravo podcast.
Oh, right.
I would say that I have 0% podcast experience, but I do have almost 30 years of giving my opinion.
Oh, that's good.
But I just look forward to learning from this and having fun.
Yes.
And we're gonna movie it up.
I'm here specifically and only to build my resume. So, I mean, you're cool, but this is really just, you know, when you were in high school and people were like, you go around the room at a club where you are in clubs because you're an overachiever too, right?
I was that class president.
Oh, okay. So you were the club. There was always that one girl who was like, I'm just here for class credit or I'm just here for my college resume. So next.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, wow, this is going to be super fun to work with you.
I love your passion.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So far, so good. Where did we meet? We met at a sushi restaurant a million years ago. And I knew instantly that I needed to go out and get drunk with you. I was right. I was right. But you're great sober and drunk, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. What else do I love? What else am I about? Oh, I'm a mom.
Oh.
I'm single. We eventually will have a segment that will find me the one. But Until then, I'll talk about all my failed attempts at sliding into somebody's DM.
Yes.
I fell in love with the movie industry. When I was 4, my mom and I watched the Oscars and Joan Rivers was hosting the red carpet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I have to be there. I need to be a part of this, whatever it means. And so every year I've never missed an Oscars. It's just been part of my life. Yeah. It's like it's my Super Bowl. It's my Christmas. It's everything.
That's iconic. I love that.
I love it. And this is the first year that I've really gotten into the stats and like watched all of the races instead of just the big ones. And it's been such a blast learning about it and just getting deeper into this industry that I love so much.
Do they have Oscar betting pools?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like they in do? Vegas and stuff. Yeah.
I'm screaming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was like the odds and the payoff for like best actress this year was insane. What else? I used to be an actor as well. I did theater for a long time. I have a minor in theater from Sacramento State. Yeah. And then I went on to do movies for like 6 or 7 years here and in the Bay Area. And then I went to LA and got eaten alive. But I still love it. And my dream is to be a film critic for Rotten Tomatoes and then eventually work for Roger Ebert's website.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to tell you. So if this audio doesn't work out, my next plan from what I've seen online is literally me recording inside of a closet. I'm not kidding.
Back in the closet.
Right. Just like middle school all over again.
When did you come out? Is that okay for me to ask?
Yeah. At the end of freshman year in high school, I came out.
Okay.
You know, you do, as everyone does, I came out as bisexual, even though.
Oh, cute.
Come on.
Right.
We know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. That's had a friend, Jordan, who was like, he was so feminine, like beyond what I'd ever seen. Like a girl was not that feminine in my experiences, you know? But yeah. He was the funniest. Like he just had my number. Like he was the funniest person I'd ever met in sixth grade. And he was out and proud, like in sixth grade. And like, it was my first run-in with like a gay person, you know? So I asked my mom, I was like, okay. He said that he came out, you know, like he told people that he likes boys. And she's like, okay. I was like, so do I have to tell people that I like boys too? Like, is that how this works? Like, what's the deal? And she was like, oh, no, just, you know, if they're gay. And I'm like, well, what the fuck does it matter? If they have to declare their sexuality, do I have to plan something? Like, do I need a party? Do I need invites to this party to come out? Like, how does this work? She's like, no, this is how it goes. And I was like, okay, well, that's stupid.
Like,
that's
she's like, honey, it's called heteronormativity. It's a privilege.
Add it to your list of things. Add it to your list of privileges in your life.
I would have loved to attend that party, though.
I know.
If you would have a coming out. I like men.
Right. And we're just boys like crickets. Yeah. I build it up like it's this huge reveal. I was like, I hope you can all stick by my side through this tough time.
I've made this difficult decision. As we will all learn when we're older, it is difficult to like men.
Well, that's true. Was it hard for you to come out or no?
I feel like it, you know, it's been so long.
I know.
But I feel like it was a little bit. But all of my friends were really supportive. And like, you know, I mean, when you're gay, it's like everyone already knows.
Right.
You're like the last one to come
to the party.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God. We know.
What?
Yeah. Or the Scooby-Doo. Like, they're like, okay, so like, are we still going to the movies this weekend or what?
Right. Okay, because you're coming over to play, right?
Cool. Yeah. But it was chill.
Oh, good.
I mean, I knew since I was in third grade. I didn't know like it was gay, but like I knew right. I liked.
Yeah, like you had a crush on a boy.
Yeah.
It's got to be a trip to like, because I do remember thinking about, I mean, I can't know your experience, of course, but I just remember thinking like how weird it was to think about sexuality, especially at like a young age, you know? You just yeah. like who you like somebody makes your tummy turn and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I like them, you know?
Yeah.
And then to think about it at that age, which I feel like you almost have to when it's not like the norm, right? Mm-hmm. That's got to be such a traumatic thing, right? Or no?
A little. I mean,
or you're just like, whatever.
I think it was more like whatever, honestly.
Yeah.
It was, I didn't know what was happening. I just knew it wasn't exactly normal.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe yeah. it's more traumatic for me. You're like, God, I have to come out. I have to tell my dad that I like boys. Like, what the fuck? Oh man. Well, I'm glad it wasn't super traumatic for you, you know?
Yeah.
I hope like as time goes on, it's that way too. Did you see, just while we're on the topic, I know we have an outline and stuff, but it's fine.
Fuck it.
Did you see, Uncle Frank on Prime? No.
I don't know. No, is it a movie?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it recent?
Yeah. Pandemic.
Who's in it?
Paul Bettany, who's Vision.
A dad? Yeah.
Yeah. A Vision and the Vision. Yeah, he's incredible. And then who else is in it? I think that's it. And then like, it's just other smaller actors, but it's really good. It's about just being gay in the 70s, but it's like so normal. Like I understand that like life is traumatic and life as a gay person can be extra traumatic. Valid, for sure. But also, like, I don't feel like every story is that way, you know?
Right. Yes.
And, like, Schitt's Creek, I think, did that kind of was, like, normalize it. It's, like, it doesn't have to be fucking traumatic and, like, hard, you know? Like, it can just be love. Because that's what
the way
is.
That they did that, I just loved it.
So good. Yeah. Where it was just, like, dude, this is just life, you know? Like, it doesn't have to be this huge thing.
Yeah.
We're, like, Prom. Did you watch Prom?
I did not.
Yeah.
Watch it yet.
Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to. It was like the acting wasn't great from really great actors, which is a bummer.
Is it like Meryl Streep in that movie?
Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman, James Corden, Keegan-Michael Key. He's really good.
Yeah, naturally really. He's just always good.
He's just a star.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was one of those movies of like the storyline was how hard it was for her to be a lesbian in high school and like everyone made fun of her the whole time. And like, I get it. But like, fuck, haven't we seen that 8,000 times?
It's been done.
It's done. Like, let's make it something to celebrate, you know? Or like, she came out, everyone's stoked. And then like, we move on. And then she gets to fall in love and stuff. Like, you know? But what was one? Oh, Uncle Frank. You should watch that one. That one's good.
Okay. Yeah.
It's really good.
In the 70s, it was really, I feel like it was really, from what I see in media, it's like, it was really like freeing. And just like, everyone was on their hippie vibes and just...
Dude, everyone was high as fuck. Everyone was high as a kite and was like, cool, dude. You're gay? Yeah. Cool. Me too, bro.
Like, I feel like they weren't even like, we're gay. It's just like,
hey, you're cute.
Sexually open, just doing their thing.
Yeah. 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 That's kind of how it was. And it was really heartwarming and like cute and normal, you know?
Yes. Fun fact, my phone is literally always on silent.
Ugh, mine was too until I had a kid.
I feel like I'm so like traumatized from going to school and working for so long where you aren't allowed to have your phones out. So I just, it's literally always on silent.
You're like, I don't want attention today at work.
Yeah. Do we have any highlights of the week before we get started?
I thought of like three today and I was like, oh, I'm going to write that down as soon as I finish this task. And then I didn't write it down. And by the time I got to the paper, I was like, I don't even have a clue as to what I was thinking. So yeah, there were a few things that were crazy this week, but I have no idea what they were.
I composed a little list and I'm just going to run down them.
Oh, please, please, please.
If this is, you know, this is ranges from movies to TV to like maybe a little bit of music in there.
Ooh, okay.
I'm just going to give it to you.
Go. Just
you don't have to go into detail, but I'm just going to go. Okay. So the fact that the Real Housewives All-Stars started filming and just wrapped up, like, there, it's a bunch of Real Housewives going to Turks and Caicos and just getting drunk.
Who do you know who the cast is?
Yes.
Give me the highlights. Give me the big ones you're excited about.
We're excited to see for sure Ramona from New York.
Oh, yes.
We're excited to see Kenya from Atlanta.
Okay.
Teresa and Melissa from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And Luann from New York as well. There's also Kyle from Beverly Hills and Cynthia from Atlanta. It's seven. There's seven ladies.
Oh, that's it?
I know. And they only filmed for like a week. So they, it was, I don't know how they're going to make a whole season out of that, but I'm sure they'll find a way.
Interesting. Yes. Okay, I do have a question about Ramona though. Did she get her eyes corrected? Do we know?
You mean from being like bulging?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope not.
I know. I love, but I saw like an episode randomly this pandemic. I'm just going to, this chunk of time, whatever it's been. And it, she's, it, she looked normal and I was very upset.
Yeah. I think maybe she did because I went back and watched a few seasons. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Or she's just taking different pills.
Yeah. Or she's not drinking as much Pinot, but I think that's the less likely option.
Yeah, no, I think she switched up her meds maybe. You know, they're all popping Xanax at just baseline.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and the fact that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck have been spotted hanging out again, that's a thing.
Yeah, I didn't even know they broke up. I didn't know she broke up with A-Rod. Where have I been?
That just happened like a few weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Because he's, she can't trust him because why? He was DMing someone from Southern Charm.
Oh Lord. You
can't mess up something like Jennifer Lopez.
God, what else are you looking for? It's like Jay-Z cheating on Beyonce. Like what are you looking for? I don't understand. You have the world.
Yeah.
And what are we supposed to do? The assholes who aren't even close to being J-Lo. Or is it just trust some dude? Great. Super. Anyway, carry on.
The final season of Pose is premiering tonight. We love Pose. Yeah. Excited about that.
Are you excited? Are you sad that it's over? Or is it like it's time?
Both. It's both. It's bittersweet. I feel like they could have gone at least five seasons. I think this is season three.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, I'm going to miss it. Yeah. Bridgerton season two started filming. I didn't think I would like it because I don't like period things, but yeah. I actually really liked it. Surprisingly, there was a lot of sex in it. That's not why I liked it. It was kind of like, if you've ever seen Gossip Girl.
No.
Oh, well, it's kind of like Gossip Girl. So basically there's someone like writing literature, like with just 100% gossip and tea. Okay. And it's like back then. So they're like, oh my goodness, trying to figure out who it is. And it's really good.
Okay.
I did watch the Mitchells versus the Machines and it was so cute.
Oh, yay.
There was pug scenes or imagery like once every 3 minutes. So honestly, I feel like the movie was made for me. And
how cute.
Yeah. And Abby Jacobson was the voice of the main character. And I love her so much.
And I heard that there's a gay protagonist.
Yeah, it's her.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So cute. And it's not like overt, like, I'm a lesbian. It's just like, it's just very subtle and just cute. It's like, it's awesome. Normal. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to watch it. I'm going to watch it with my daughter.
She'll love it.
Okay. She's like a movie buff. So
cool.
Yeah.
Runs in the blood. It's from the same people who created Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just love the animation of that and how they did that movie. So
yeah, I was watching some like some very heated discourse on Twitter about it because Sony produced it and created it. And then sold it to Netflix, which was kind of like a sellout in a way. Like, I think people wanted Sony to come out in theaters with it, especially right now when kids are like waiting to go to the movies and have a huge thing and kind of give them a boost because Spider-Man, came from Sony. and people are rooting for them.
I would have gladly seen that movie in theaters.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll get back to him. You know, hopefully Netflix will like kick something back to him to like,
yeah.
So far they're 2 for 2, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, the only thing I was going to say, the only last thing I was going to say was something not so exciting was the fact that Oscars hit a historic low.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. It's the year. It's the year. It's just the year.
Thank God. See, thank God you're here. This is 100%. The first thing I wanted to talk about is the freaking Oscars. Just a moment of silence, please.
Yes.
Did you watch them?
I did not.
Okay.
I saw enough. I saw enough about it. And
I know. And the internet was ablaze. They were a little harsh. They're a little harsh. Yeah. Because up until the end, it was pretty great. And it was better, certainly, than last year, without a doubt. Right? And like, I thought it was filmed well. There weren't any clips, like for supporting actor, they would like run through little clips of each performance and there weren't any. But other than that, I thought it was great. It felt very like intimate. We were like in the room for the first time. It wasn't just like, oh, there's a million people in the room and a million people watching. It felt like we were just like hanging out with the nominees in the room.
That's cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. And it was super fun. And like, I really enjoyed bits in between each award, which I normally despise. It's so cheesy. But it was, Questlove was DJing and kind of like hosting-ish.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he's hilarious and just like talented. And he would send people out into the audience. And that was fun. But then the ending came. They blew it. The producers of this show blew it. Like, not only did they switch the order, so usually it'll go best actor, actress, then best picture, and then we're out. They went best picture, best actress, then best actor. And we're pretty confident it's because they wanted best actor to go to Chadwick Boseman because he's swept everywhere else. And they wanted to be this emotional, beautiful speech from his widow and then to leave on that note and like have that be the finale, which is kind of disgusting, just trying to like capitalize on this grief that she's going through. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That she has to kind of like relive every award show as she gets ready without him to accept this award for him. Like, and then it goes to Anthony Hopkins, which is fine. But I guess Olivia Colman was supposed to give a speech for him. Like, he gave her a speech to give for him. And instead of cutting to her to give a speech for Anthony Hopkins, they just go back to the most awkward human alive, Joaquin Phoenix, who goes, the Academy's going to accept this award. Thanks. Have a good night. And then it like, that was it. It just like started playing music. The camera panned out. And the show was over. And people were like kind of clapping. And like, it was so uncomfortable. I sat there like squeezing my face. Like, why? What is happening? Oh my God. Why?
Wait, I need to go. Maybe I need to go watch it now.
Yes. And honestly, like the Moonlight La La Land moment was horrible. Right?
Yes. Yes.
But this is like, it's being talked about as maybe almost being worse because it's a little more emotional and because of Chadwick and everything. Like, I think just the fact that they were trying to like commercialize in a way his passing, like, is the fucked up. And then
yes.
Also how it ended and like, oh my God, it just the combination of it is so bad.
Train wreck.
Oh my God. Yeah, you should watch it. I mean, at your own risk. Have a drink or two first.
I've been warned at this point. Yeah, I heard about the order mix-up, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. Why?
We thought it might be, like, actress was going to go last because it was such a tight race, and, like, nobody knew, and the odds in Vegas were, like, crazy, and, you know, that was, like, the race to watch. Yeah. So, like, oh, they're just going to do that one last because, like, everyone's waiting for it, you know? And then, nope, cringe. And it should have gone to Best Picture last still because Nomadland won. Yeah. Chloe won. It's monumental. She's like the first female director to also win Best Picture.
Iconic.
Yes. Yeah. Like the whole night was like record breaking and this huge night for women in film, really, like, hella people broke records. Frances McDormand, who was in Nomadland, she got her fourth Oscar, which is only like 6 people have ever done. Like, not just women, but like people.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a big thing. And then for them to win Best Picture should have just been like the moment. That should have been the moment. We all knew it was winning. Just
right.
All right. That's enough of that.
Stowaway.
Well, I told you my thoughts. I texted you and I said instantly, what the fuck? Because I wanted to throw it out the window, but also rewatch it at the same time. What was your...
I honestly really enjoyed it. I completely understand where you're coming from. I don't think we're talking Oscars race, but it was a nice little space getaway, I feel like. I think when I think of movies in space, sometimes I think we're going to get a little bit more action. But when it came down with this movie, it was just more about character and relationships. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I usually, when I hear space movies, I go, oh no. Because they're so cheesy. And let me guess, you don't have any more oxygen, you know? Like,
they checked that box.
Wow. Yeah, they did. I did give them, I rated it in oxygen tanks, by the way.
I rated in algae samples.
Perfect. Okay, so I guess we should summarize it, yeah?
Yeah.
Stowaway is a movie with Andrew Kendrick and Daniel Day Kim, and Toni Collette and Shamir Anderson.
Yes.
Oh, what a dream he is.
Yeah, both the men in this movie were so gorgeous.
Yeah. And kind of outshined the women. Like, I hate to say that. I never will say that unless I have to. But I think they kind of outperformed them, didn't they?
I would agree. I think I love Toni Collette so much, though. Oh, I love her.
I do.
But I think performances, yeah. I think they solar stormed it, if you know what I mean.
Cute. Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean. okay, so basically, 3 astronauts who are on their way somewhere into space. We join them mid-launch. And... 12 hours into their mission, they find a seemingly lifeless body in one of the cabins. Is that what it is? A cabin?
It was like behind a panel.
Yeah. Who turns out to be an engineer who was working on the ship pre-launch just to make sure everything was going well. And because they failed at their job, they didn't realize he was still there working on it, which is kind of scary.
Yeah. But did part of you think that he... stayed on purpose?
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought the whole thing was going to be, was that he was like going to take him to hostage or something. Once again, Old Faithful in a space movie. They don't have enough oxygen because this stowaway gentleman was sucking up too much. They only had enough, which is weird. They only had enough for 2 people, they said.
Yeah.
On their way up there. And then they kind of like figured out how to get a little bit more for a third, but like enough oxygen to barely get to Mars, which is where they ultimately are going, which is bananas to me. Why in the world would NASA send something up that doesn't have enough oxygen? Like,
you would think if they're going to have surplus of anything.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
I'll tell you what, they had a surplus of bandages. They had a surplus of fucking algae.
Until they didn't.
But still, they had coffee cups. You have no little extra oxygen just in case. Here's what really pissed me off. This is what I, like, why I wanted to throw my TV across the room. Oh, it's a stupid ending. Because like in Sound of Metal, I've given you my time. My time is really all I have in this life. I've given you a piece of my life. Film. I've handed you 2 hours of my life. And you can't, for 10 seconds, give me a little morsel of hope. Pay me back a little. They said, no, you don't. You don't get your feelings validated. You don't get any of your time back. We stole it from you. And now fuck you. Go back to your normal life. And don't worry about it. Just get worked up about it. I stayed up an extra like hour last night because I was so mad. All they had to do was just show me a boot, a fucking boot, hit some red dust, and I'm good. I just need to know they got to Mars. I just need to know that all three of them or whatever survived. I just need to know that the 2-hour journey to more oxygen was worth it.
Yes.
And here they are with their stupid poignant ending. Oh, the little voiceover about how meaningful life is. Give me a fucking shot instead. Don't waste your voiceover about whatever life means to you. Just give me a shot with some cute little music that like validates my life. That validates my life during your movie.
Could we not have gotten a memorial on planet Mars?
I mean, did they send her out to space? Fuck. We're already here. We're already 2 hours deep. One more minute. 60 seconds. That's a long time. 60 seconds is a long time.
Okay. And you know what's so funny is like halfway through the movie when basically Michael was expected to essentially sacrifice his own life, I paused the movie and I looked at Ricky and I was like, Anna Kendrick's character seems like she will sacrifice her life before she lets Michael die.
Yeah.
At this point. And I feel like that's just who her character was from the beginning. It wasn't like a shock that she did that. Right. It was kind of just like, I called that. Like, I could see it a mile away.
She's a doctor. Like, isn't that what they do?
Right. I almost wanted like her character to be like, to have some kind of arc where she would like sacrifice her life and then we would be like, oh, no, she's not. Is she really going to do that? No. But instead I was like, yep, that's very on par with her character. I could see it.
Well, maybe she gets up there with Michael and she's like, you know what? I can't do this. And just fucking pushes him off. Waves.
I'm not going to lie. There were multiple moments in this movie where I was waiting for a little bit more, like maybe I'm just built this way, but like something more dramatic or suspenseful. Like I was waiting for aliens to attack. I was waiting for Michael to take that pen and, you know, have it be on the defense with it. Like if anyone tried to come at him or try to like hurt him.
Maybe he stabbed somebody else.
That's what I was waiting for. I was like, wait to see if Michael like feeds someone anything. Like he's going to like squirt whatever that is into like their food and like kill them. Oh. Like, I don't know why I was waiting for that. Like,
because we watch too many movies, probably, or too much reality TV. We're waiting for the drama, you know? Like, I thought it was good, though. Like, I was kind of, like, on edge. Well, when they were outside, like, towards the end, when they were, like, on their mission to get more oxygen and whatever, it felt very real to me.
Yes.
You know? And I felt, it was really cool how the entire movie, we never went back to Earth. There was never a shot of Earth or mission control or anything. And like once they left the Earth's atmosphere, like we didn't even hear the voices from Earth anymore, which I thought was really cool and different. I think like the ending, like the climactic scene where they're getting the oxygen and shit, like that was intense because they're just waiting for somebody to just like drift off. And I feel like drifting off into space to your death is like the scariest possible scenario ever. And so I kind of anticipate it maybe too much.
Yeah. You know? Like, ooh.
Oh my God.
When they
how long does it take? What do you think? What are you thinking about when you're drifting off into space? Do you write a quick note to the whoever finds you?
Do you explode? Do you implode?
Do you stay intact because you're in your suit?
Yeah.
You just run out of oxygen and then you like suffocate, but then you're like mummified because you're like in the thing.
Oh my God.
What if you drift into the sun?
Fuck.
What if you end up on a different planet? What if you just bump into some UFO? What if you're like a bug on a windshield to some UFO?
What if this movie was in the universe of the next Fast and the Furious movie where they're in space and, you know, someone hits them with their car?
Like, oh God, fucking bugs.
You just see Vin Diesel pull up and that's where the movie starts.
You guys got a lot of bugs out here? I keep hitting these little bugs that are exploding on my windshield. Now that we've built it up as this hilarious, ridiculous thing, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to make fun of it, you know?
Yeah, I want to go see it opening night now.
Yeah, same. I can't wait. I can't wait to see your notes. Okay.
Something, is it just me or do you feel like Anna Kendrick plays the same character in everything? Like, I feel like all of her characters are just so excitable. Right. And she's so like almost doe-eyed. And she honestly hasn't aged a day, I feel like, which is good for her. She has like such character roles and I feel like I can't get those out of my head. I feel like they're all the same.
Yeah, which, I mean, I feel the same about George Clooney.
Yes.
I feel the same about a lot of actors, actually.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is so off topic, but I feel like this is going to make or break our relationship. And I have to ask you because it's important. I'm a little nervous. Here we go. I need to know how you feel about Kristen Stewart.
Oh, shit.
It's okay. I'm still going to love you no matter what, but I do want to know.
I'm going to give you a Miss America answer here. I don't hate her. I just don't love her.
Okay, fair. I can't stand her. I don't get it. I know that she has a beautiful face. So like, let her model. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
She doesn't emote and like, oh yeah, she's thinking, but like you can't just think the whole movie and hope that people understand what's going on in your brain. It doesn't work unless you're Tom Hanks or something, but she's not.
Okay. I'm going to take back my answer. I hate her.
Oh my God. Okay. See, I knew it. I knew everything was going to be fine. I can't.
I'll never be able to forgive what she did to one of my favorite movie series, Charlie's Angels.
Oh my God. I didn't even do it. I couldn't do it.
Don't. Highly recommend you don't.
Okay, I won't. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad we established that Kristen Stewart is the worst. I'm really upset that she's going to be Princess Diana in the movie. Great. She looks like her. I don't care. Like,
yeah, did you see a picture of it?
Yeah, and she looks great, but like it should be a still picture because that's all it's going to be anyways.
Yeah, can we just do an editorial?
Honestly, I feel like she'd be amazing. At just like editorials, even like you could do like storylines in a magazine, you know, she's at like a full spread where it's like a story, but it's just one face the whole time. Cause that's how it is in her movies anyway. And it doesn't matter if she's talking or not.
She's so goddamn awkward too.
Oh my God.
Did you watch that one movie, that holiday movie with the lesbians?
No.
Okay, something else I loved about Stowaway, again, bringing it back to how much I love Toni Collette.
Yes.
I love when actors get to use their actual accents, like their...
Oh, when, yeah.
When she got to speak with her Australian accent, love that.
Which is so weird. Why do we make them not? Such a weird concept. Like, if you're speaking the same language, who cares what accent you have?
I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense if like they're part of like an American family. Like she's them. I mean, maybe not actually, because she could still be from Australia and like
if she was the mom. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't get that either. Actually, let's normalize
accents because, like, they're normal
and they sound just smarter.
Yeah, like Tom Holland does a great American accent, but yeah. I've never understood why he's doing an American accent. You know, like, what does it matter? I guess, like in okay. So Hugh Laurie also has a great American accent.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever watch House or no?
I did. I watched a few eps.
Yeah. Did you watch Veep?
No. Is he in that?
Oh my God. You have to watch Veep.
He's in that?
He's in the last couple seasons.
Okay.
So he's like running for vice president, but like I get that why he can't be British for that. That I get. But otherwise, if he's on a house and he's being a doctor, like he can be a British doctor. That's the thing.
I think you can be a British doctor.
Yeah. Especially when they look like Hillary.
Yeah. I'll be sick all the time.
You have to watch Veep.
Okay.
Did you watch Arrested Development?
I watched like the first before it got more seasons.
Yeah.
Before it came on Netflix.
I wasn't like a huge fan of that show. very controversial. But Tony Hale is in Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. And he's also like the standout star for me in Veep. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's so okay. funny. It's so dirty and ridiculous and so funny.
He's funny, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's great. He was also Forky in Toy Story 4. You're welcome.
Oh my God. Trash? Yep. I feel like Ricky and I call ourselves like trash all the time. So when we saw that movie, we were like, oh, that's us for sure.
Is that my spirit animal? Sport? Okay, yeah, we got to watch Veep.
Okay. Oh, anything else to add about this movie?
I don't know.
I'm going to say, okay. the entire time I was convinced that the Michael's character was literally just there on purpose. I felt like, you know, when we heard that he was going to submit a proposal for the next mission, my eyebrows yeah. went up and I was like, girl. And when the other character was like, you don't have to do that anymore. You're here.
Right.
I felt like he was like, that's right.
That's I'm right. That's right. I am here. I am sucking here. Up all your oxygen.
He's like, I didn't even think of that. I am here.
Whoa. Wow.
He also assumed that fucking NASA would send up plenty of oxygen.
I mean, because he's a normal thinking human being.
He's like, oh, shit. What do you mean they didn't?
How could they not send up oxygen? That's the one thing we need to be here. What else? They don't have fuel anymore. They said that.
Fuck.
They didn't have anything else. They didn't even have thrusters. Those were gone. They're just now in orbit flying towards Mars.
Yeah.
All you need now is fucking oxygen.
I remember I kept thinking to myself, why don't they just abort mission and go back? But I was like, oh, they're too far.
Right.
Going too fast to be able to turn around.
And so you'd think when you plan for that to happen, you'd be like, oh, they can't turn around in case something goes awry. Maybe we should pack up a little extra oxygen, just like a tank or two, because that's all they'll fucking need. They needed two little tanks of oxygen. Two. When they said the amount, I was like, that's it? That's all? For real? Why don't you right. just take turns holding your breath for a minute a day?
Hello.
You know?
I definitely saw places on that spacecraft that could have carried two more tanks.
Yeah.
Or three.
If they can carry an extra human and stay on course, probably carry an extra two tanks of oxygen. What if one leaks? Put three on. So annoying. I get it has to be like a plausible problem. Yeah. But like, let's make it something else.
Yeah.
Let's make it like he takes these astronauts hostage.
Fuck. I was waiting
He's
for
like a
it.
Pirate or something cool.
I hated being like, I want him to be the villain.
I know, because he's
but like I wanted racist. Him to be like the villain, kind of. Damn it!
It would have been 100 times better if he was the villain, or yeah, like snuck on, or like was hiding and waiting, and now he's going to take this ship to Mars and like steal technology from the planet Mars, unless he gets $8 billion or something.
Right. I was waiting for him to kill someone and then be like, "We don't need to make a decision anymore." This is all the oxygen we need just for the three of us.
See? But no, let's go get some fucking oxygen because dum-dums can figure out how to put two tanks on there. Oh, God. I'm getting worked up again.
Right.
They need to honestly call us next time they want to do a movie because we have some brilliant ideas.
We're not having it with these, you guys going rogue on these endings.
How dare you write a movie script without our input? How dare you?
And with that, I will say, this movie doesn't need a sequel. It doesn't need a sequel. It could have just, you know, given us that last minute scene.
Even an aerial shot, just like...
Anything.
Anything. Just show me like, oh, look, there's a tent on Mars. Cool. There it is. Here comes Mars on the horizon. You don't have to go outside the ship. You could stay inside the ship and all of a sudden shit turns red.
That's it.
That's it. Simple. Just a simple gel on top of a light. Filming the characters that are already in this ship. They're already on set.
We don't ask for much.
Honestly. I just give me a morsel. I feel like it would elevate the movie though so much more. Like if you give me something back, there's a payoff at the end.
Yes.
That's what makes a phenomenal award-winning movie. You get the payoff. Don't be all cheeky like, oh, it's up to you to decide. Like, no, I don't want to.
Instead, we got the 2-minute monologue that she had already said earlier in the film.
Right. Mm. Oh my God. I forgot it was a repeat monologue. She didn't even say anything new.
I know.
Ugh. You know what? I'm going down half a tank. I'm doing it.
So did they.
Perfect. Okay. What's your rating?
I gave this 3.5 algae samples.
Out of 5?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I did 3.5 oxygen tanks.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did. Let's soak this in. This may never happen again.
I love it. This is my final conclusion of this movie was,
okay,
I connected with the characters and I felt like the 2 hours like went by so fast without me really noticing. Like I didn't really need to check to be like, okay, is this movie is like going on? Is it going to end soon?
Yeah. Agreed.
I think that I wanted a little bit more from Anna's Zoe character. Like I wanted that arc I told you about.
Yeah.
For me to be like, wait, is she really going to do this? And I also wanted a little bit smidge more of Michael's character going a little bit more berserk over the idea that he may have to kill himself. Like he definitely was bugging out a little bit, but I wanted him to get like a little like on the defense.
Maybe yeah, he's like just go to the dark side for a second.
Overall though, I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. I would recommend it, especially if you're into like space movies. I'd be like, this is like a refreshing take for sure. Like a new way to think about it and maybe inspire people to write about a new problem, but it was still really good. Do you have an Oscar of the week going to this movie or no?
I don't think I do. Fair. Do you?
Yeah, I was going to give mine to Daniel Day Kim, and here's why. One, God, I could just watch him read a phone book. I don't care. He's so gorgeous. And God, the camera just loves that face, like every angle and the cheekbones and the, oh my God. And then he was really good, I thought, at being subtle with his feelings. Like, I think we've probably seen it done so many times where a supporting actor will like overdo their performance. Like, I don't know what you would call it. Like, you know, seasick, space sick, motion sick, I guess.
Motion sick.
Motion sick. Yeah, I just feel like he played that pretty chill and like, you know, I could have imagined him being a little more annoying about where he went to college and their rivalry, or even just like a more dramatic about having to kill his little algae plants. Like I thought there were so many times where he could have really gone over the top with it and he didn't, but we still get the impact of it. Like it was still hit hard, you know?
That is something I definitely wrote in my notes. The fact that Heath's character was so composed when he really just wanted to be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like the algae.
Right. Like that makes so much sense for like a scientist/astronaut to be chosen for that composure. Right.
Yes.
And as an actor to like carry that out, but I'll, like, I, yeah, that was masterful.
Okay. I changed my answer. He gets my Oscar of the week.
Okay.
Would you recast anyone in this movie?
Yeah.
I think the only person I would recast is Anna Kendrick.
With Kristen Stewart.
You read my mind.
Who would you? Oh, okay. There's a handful of people that could have done that role.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, so I loved kind of the diversity in the cast. And I would have loved to see like maybe a Latino woman take that role. So I was thinking maybe someone along the lines of maybe like Gina Rodriguez or Diana Guerrero, or maybe even Aubrey Plaza take on a role like that.
Oh, I would love to see Aubrey Plaza in a cool role.
Yeah.
How come she doesn't get cast a lot? She's really good.
She was also really good in that lesbian movie we were talking about with Kristen Stewart.
Oh, she's in that?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, yeah, that makes me want to watch it more.
She's good in that movie.
She's so talented.
Yes. I love her. Yes.
Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to our very first podcast. We are so excited to be here and we hope you enjoyed it. But before we go, I just wanted to recap all of the TV shows and movies that we talked about throughout the episode and where you can find them. So we talked about Uncle Frank. You can find that on Prime. We talked about Prom, and that's on Netflix. Schitt's Creek, you should already know that it's on Netflix. Gossip Girl, you can binge on HBO Max. Mitchell's versus the Machines is on Netflix. Nomadland is still in some select theaters and also on Hulu. And a Stowaway that we talked about in depth is on Netflix. Sound of Metal, you can find on Prime. Charlie's Angels, just do yourself the favor and don't worry about it. It's on Hulu, but just go back and watch an old one. The Happiest Season is also on Hulu. Veep, you can binge on HBO Max. House is on Apple TV and the Peacock app. Arrested Development is on Hulu and Netflix. Like, good job, you guys. Toy Story 4 is on Disney Plus, and you can binge Bridgerton on Netflix. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes.